Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole band is back together, me and B in the prison cell. There's 100 dudes in the aquarium right now. It's a straight-up sausage fest in there. White Mike, White Brian, Jeff, and Landini. Jeff's sweatshirt, at least three sizes
Jeff
too
left.
Small.
Jeff say he is leaving the party as you described it.
Yo, 10 dudes in a 6-square-foot room. What do you want me to say? Good morning, Brian.
What's up, brother? What's happening?
There was an awesome game last night.
No, it wasn't.
There was.
Who?
The Wiz, baby.
They won?
The Wiz won.
That's not good when the Wiz win.
Well, Landfill's very upset when the Wizards win. Listen, man, it's okay for them to win a couple. Last night was a fun home win. It hit a big shot late. The Wizards now are 5-23. I don't think we need to worry too much, dude. I'm glad when they get a couple wins. I think that helps the young guys kind of stay invested. Now, they do, however, have the same record as the Pelicans. The Pelicans are completely tanking. They're trying to trade away Zion or whatever. There is no more overhyped player based on just some dope highlights than Zion Williamson.
Yeah, but when Zion Williams is healthy and on a basketball court, you see why he had the hype.
Sure.
He just can't stay on the court.
Yo, honestly,
that was the wrong place for him to go, New Orleans.
I got your comp. I got your Zion comp.
What you got?
Jadeveon Clowney.
I don't know if he's as healthy as Jadeveon.
Well, Jadeveon has never delivered. Like, Jadeveon has that one outrageous highlight in college where he knocked the kid from Michigan's helmet off.
But
Zion
saying,
has the exploding shoe dunk highlight.
But that dude.
And that's what you remember them
if
for.
If you look at Zion and you look at his stats when he's on that court, he brought some amazing numbers up. He just can't stay on the court, man.
Right, but when he's on the court at this point is just too many wins.
Yeah.
Like too many ifs. You know, last year's the most games he ever played was 70. So far this year he's played 6. He's played.
Hey man, you can't put a guy that likes to eat in New Orleans. I'm just telling you.
Not a bad suggestion. But the Wiz win last night. The Wiz are now 5-23. Tied with Pelicans for least wins in the NBA. The Pelicans are 5-26. All I'm saying is it's a long year in the National Basketball Association. They play 82 games.
It is.
I really think they're trying to get as much developing of these young guys now that they can. And, like, say they get to, I don't know, whatever, mid-April, and they're kind of in the running for maybe not having the worst record, I think you're going to see some of these young guys have some injuries. Yeah, we got to shut them down, get their legs right. And
yeah, that happens.
Like
that happens.
I think they understand what they're doing to a degree that if they are competing for the worst record, they'll make sure they get it late in the year.
I think the Wiz crew who's running things now, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. You know. There was also a football game last night, which was truly god-awful.
It was terrible.
6-3 final.
Yeah.
Last night in Chicago.
Defensive competition.
In a pouring rain.
That was a defensive game, Jay.
We talked about this a while back. I think it's a fair time to revisit it. We'll go around the room. Give both White Mike and White Brian a microphone here, Landini.
Let me see if Brian stands up again.
he's learning,
to pull
man.
It to him now.
There you know he's married?
Yeah. No.
I just found out he's married.
You haven't been here. I've been talking to him already. It's my dog.
Yo, I worked yesterday. You weren't here.
Hey, but I know more about him than you do.
Okay. White Brian. If you had the number one pick in the NFL draft, redo, who are you taking?
Jaden Daniels.
There's one.
And he's a Giants fan.
White Mike, number one pick in the NFL draft, redo, who are you taking?
Any answer outside of Jaden Daniels is wrong.
Landini, you're a professor. Number one pick, redo, 2024 draft.
I'd also take Jaden. Yeah, absolutely.
Hands down. I think anyone that says they wouldn't at this point, lying to themselves, they just want to be an ass.
Bro, I'm not out on Caleb yet.
No, because
I think that situation in Chicago is just so stupid and didn't really set him up to succeed.
At all.
But damn if it's not Jaden.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just there's no way. Caleb last night is so out of sync offensively. And the Bears were actually able to run the ball fairly effectively in this thing.
What we said when he was drafted was, he seems to not want to do he seems to not do anything on schedule. And if you watch him, he'll drop back. And when he takes that hitch, you expect the ball to come out. But he takes a hitch, then he starts to scramble, then he starts to fade, then he goes left, and then he tries to throw an off-balance pass.
Yo.
Like the one that ended up being intercepted late in the game. That dude, I understand you threw one earlier and your receiver was wide open, yes. You can't keep doing that. You can't keep going to that well.
One of those reverse spin back towards the middle of the line of scrimmage,
mm-hmm.
he's going to get clocked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of those reverse spins, there's going to be a DN barreling down and just get absolutely smoked. He's getting his ass kicked. He now, with one game left, is second all-time to
sacks.
To David Carr for rookies
took
taking seven.
Eight or nine last night, didn't he?
Took seven last seven? Night. You know what? By the way, your boy started Seattle's defense in the fantasy championship. 18 points, no big deal. Seven sacks, a pick, and a fourth down stop.
About time you make a good move.
Do you want me to keep you updated on all the fantasy championship
no, I don't care.
Implications of the weekend?
Oh, no, man.
So obviously there was some sports last night. We watched it. Whatever. I think, are the Caps on tonight or tomorrow? Yeah, they're tomorrow in Toronto. It sure sounds like OV season might be coming, man. But I think by far the thing I am most interested to ask you about, Brian, and I'm not joking, how much fun did you have with the grandbabies at the house?
Oh, bro. Well, I still got one there.
Oh, they're still here?
Still okay. One there. Yeah,
who's here? So, Willie still?
No. Willie and them, they left yesterday. Bria is there with Bryce and Deshaun. It was lots of fun, brother.
How busy was it?
Very. and listen, both of them already have attitudes. CeCe is going to tell you, and she tries to talk, and she's like, yeah. She put her little finger up, let you know what she's talking about. Bryce basically just, you know, do whatever he wants to do. But
they're both about 6-8 months old?
No, one year, 1 month, and also 9 months.
Okay. So they're both around one.
Baby boy saw her walking around. So baby boy's trying to move now, dog.
So she's walking.
Oh yeah, she's walking.
Oh boy, that's
so
busy.
He's standing now and he takes a step then he goes, but he gets his little walking thing and he goes with it. So
he'll
be walking real soon. Believe me.
How much baby proofing did you have to do?
Not much. You just gotta watch him. Stay close to him and think about it. He got two aunties in the house who wants to hug all over him. Well, three with Kristen being there. Uncle that spoiled the hell out of him. And then CeCe, everybody had never really seen her. I've seen her.
Right. You've been out to Cali.
I went out to Cali and all, but they all were like, the babies didn't have to touch the floor.
I bet.
So,
this time next year when everybody comes for Christmas.
It's going to be a problem.
Yo, that's.
I'm letting you know that now. It's going to be a problem.
So I talked to Jeff. I haven't talked to you more than just text messages since Christmas. So we were in Ashburn yesterday. It was me and Toby. And so, you know, when you're talking down the line to the boys in the aquarium, you don't have eyes on them. You don't really know how it's going. But Jeff, I think the text thread said, I'm coming in hot. It was something like that.
Yesterday?
Yes. And when Jeff first spoke to me yesterday, you know how I sound like after a couple hard nights, with a voice real like this? Jeff sounded like that. He sounded very tired and like he
left my house way early. So I don't know. What happened at his house.
He blames it on your house. No. He said he started drinking bourbon early in the morning while y'all were frying turkeys.
He probably did, but he left my house and he was good.
Jeffrey?
So first let's bring this story all the way back. JP, I did not text I was coming in hot yesterday. That was last week. He tried to make it seem like I was late yesterday. No. That happened last week. It was the cup that I had because, you know, I had took one from your house, sealed it up. I was like, I'm going to drink this when I get home.
Oh, so you took it with you. So that's on you.
Yeah, but it was helping me, you know, my pain from running. I feel good now, though, if anybody else.
Oh, that was the other thing. He claimed this was all because he raced his nephew.
It wasn't my nephew. It was his brother.
His two brothers.
Okay.
He beat one of them the first time. Then they both beat him, and now he's sworn to them that he will be ready next time he's going to be running. We're going to get another race of him in the alley right here.
We should let Ahmet race Jeff. Ahmet's always trying to race somebody.
Ahmet yeah, beat B-Mitch that one time.
He did beat B-Mitch that one time.
Y'all can stop the lies. I'm not going to worry about that one. I'm going to stop y'all fool yourself. If Ahmet had beat me, you know what he would have done? He would have raced me again since. And he won't.
Yeah, it's like Seinfeld. I choose not to run.
I ain't going to lie, B. If I beat you in the race one time, I'm not racing you no more.
Jeff, I'm not worried about that. I've seen you run 6'4".
I beat Brian best 2 out of 3 in ping pong, and I'll never play him again. I won 2 matches. I won 2-0, and we will never play ping pong again. This is cool. Are you? I see your look. Those are facts, right?
And I beat him 100 times in golf, and I'll play him again. I'll play him every time he wants to play. You know the difference between a real competitor and a non-competitor?
Yeah. You played in the NFL for 14 years. I'm a blogger.
Hold on, JP. You beat him 2 out of 3 times and you won't play him again?
No, it was best 2 out of 3 and I won 2-0.
Oh, you don't have to play him again.
Yeah, we're chilling, dog. Yeah. We're chilling. Yeah.
I get him tipsy again and play him. Believe me.
That's easy. You can get me playing by 2:15 this afternoon. The Military Bowl, all right? I like this. Shout out to Josh Barr. He's doing PR for the Military Bowl. He just sent me this press release. So the Military Bowl is NC State versus East Carolina. And I believe, Jeff, give me the info. I think the Military Bowl is tomorrow in Annapolis, okay? They're doing some media here in D.C. this afternoon. At I think that's the Hinkley Hilton, right, on Connecticut, at the Washington Hilton. You could go listen to the NC State coach talk. But what is far more important, Brian, this may have just become my favorite bowl ever. So today you can go watch media availability with NC State at the Hilton, but everything is shifting to Annapolis, and you could see they bring out the Clydesdales, you know, the big-ass Budweiser horses. Yeah, yeah, those are always cool. Those horses are massive and, like, well-decked, you know, whatever, cared for. But how about this? I don't know any other bowl that offers this. Starting at 5 o'clock today, should you be interested, you can go on the Military Bowl Pub Crawl that features multiple restaurants and drink specials in downtown Annapolis.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you know, the Detroit Bowl ain't got that. I mean, there's like 100 bars on here. That's fun. I'm in on that. I don't know where we go here, Brian.
If you don't know, now you know.
I'm not going to finish that one. coming up next. like when you're the white dude that's into hip hop, you learn the parts you just don't say. That's how life operates.
Smart guy. Smart guy.
When we come at 10:30, we're going to talk to Josh Kendall, get a Falcons preview. B, I asked this a couple times yesterday of a couple different defensive players. How hard different is it for this defense to get ready for a rookie quarterback they really haven't seen?
It's not hard for them to get ready for it because it's more on the coaches to come up with a game plan to try to figure out what affects that guy. And I think the players just follow along what the coach says. Now, if you knew the player more, you knew some things on your own, so you don't have to worry about the coach. You know what I'm saying? But right now, they're depending solely on the coach's game plan to figure things out until they play.
And do you build the game plan? Like, the offense doesn't change, right? Like, can you count on what you've seen? So typically, for this kind of matchup, you'd be watching the last month, maybe 6 weeks of tape on how the offense has been run, right?
Their offense,
and then you're chopping it up in the specific game situation.
Exactly. They're going to do that. But you also have to take into consideration, Kirk Cousins wasn't driving the ball down the field anymore.
Right.
Michael Penix will.
Yeah.
So if you've seen on the film where there were guys running open, you better understand that they may be taking those shots now instead of not taking them. Penix will take chances. Kirk Cousins didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you go with the same offense, but I think ultimately what you're trying to do is try and stop Bijan. And if you stop Bijan, and if I don't care if it's Kirk Cousins, Penix, or whoever else in the league, if they become a straight pass happy league, I mean team, then you could beat them. But if they can run the ball effectively and play action off of that, that gives you problems.
Yeah, I mean, I think Saquon's better than Bijan, but Bijan is a serious ball player, and whatever they did in the second half is what I think defensively should be their focus. The second half last week when they held Saquon, I think they held Saquon under 30 yards in the second half last week. And I just think it's kind of twofold. I think you try to stop the run, and I think you pressure the hell out of Penix.
Yeah, you have to.
Not that he can't beat you. He's got a big arm. We saw his ability to go downfield in college. Like, he is an accurate deep ball thrower and just throws a really pretty ball, that spiral coming out of the lefty.
Yep.
It's cool to watch because it just kind of spins different. But you got to say, all right, young man, you've never had a road game, and last week you had they kind of eased him in with the start against a Giants team that has just completely quit. This is going to look different. I think Luvu, Fowler, Farrell, Armstrong, you get John Allen back, Deron Payne, Johnny Newton. Sheldon Day's been playing well for them. I don't know that you're getting Allen back, but it sure as hell seems like you're getting Allen back.
I just think you have to put pressure on any rookie quarterback. I've watched this football team for years when it was the Redskins, the Commanders. I mean, the football team and the Commanders. And we'll have rookie quarterbacks coming here, and we will not blitz them. And I don't give a damn who you have. If you allow them to go through 7-on-7, they're going to beat you. And that's what we would do. We would just drop back and let them sit in the pocket. If a receiver has time to run around, he's going to get free from a defensive back.
Go get him.
Make him have to speed up all of his decisions. Make him have to make those plays, make perfect. You know, play some man-to-man. He has to throw the ball on point.
Would really help if you had Lattimore still.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're going to see if he can get out there today. DQ will talk this afternoon. But it would really help if you had Lattimore again because it just changes how you're able to defend.
Yeah.
You've got Drake London, who's a big, capable. Like, I think you would just leave Lattimore with him. And without that, it's going to look different. You're talking St. Juice and Samersil and Noah I and how they had to move and shift everything around. Go get him. Early, often. Vote like it's Chicago. Hey, just you need to put Penix on his butt frequently. No pause, Landfill. When we come back, we're going to talk to Josh Kendall, covers the Falcons for The Athletic.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, Find a local pro partner and get ready for winter. Always remember, if it ain't rude, it ain't right.
LeBron James is an undeniably great basketball player, but some of the stuff he says is just so dumb. We'll get into that a little later. Right now, I want to talk about the Falcons, man. It's like there's so much conversation surrounding this Sunday Night Football matchup, but we really don't know what Atlanta's doing. To help us get a better understanding is our guy Josh Kendall, covers the Falcons for The Athletic. Josh, thanks for making time for us. Happy holidays, dude.
Happy holidays to y'all. Now, I hope y'all didn't come on here thinking I could tell you what Atlanta's doing. I don't know half the time either.
You could give us a better idea than we got right now. How about that?
All right.
Let's start with the quarterback switch. It's a pretty soft landing spot to get to go against the Giants, but how did Penix look? How has the team reacted to that decision?
Looks great. The team responded with a lot of energy. My understanding is that the coaching staff was slower to come to this conclusion than the locker room. Mm. And nobody is in locker room has said that because they do have a ton of respect for Kirk Cousins. It's hard not to. The guy carries himself like a real professional and a really good teammate. And you've seen that particularly after he was demoted. But there was a little more bounce in the offensive step. Because they had become so limited or had limited themselves. I don't know that we know exactly where the line there is with Kirk Cousins under center. You knew exactly where Kirk Cousins was going to be in the pocket, exactly when he was going to be there. The play action stuff that makes this Sean McVay offense kind of go was not really available to them, or at least they weren't accessing it. Getting him out of the pocket was not really available to them, or they weren't accessing it. The throws outside the hash were an adventure at Kirk's current state. And Michael Penix immediately gives you all of that. So I think that the team responded really well. And the offense, despite not great stats, looked pretty good.
Does the fact that Kirk, has some limitations at this point after the surgery. It didn't seem like that early in the year, but as the year went on, you could see things starting to affect him. Did that make them make that decision?
Yeah, they really thought that they were going to be able to – this transition process was going to be a 12- or 24-month transition process. That was how they pictured it in their mind. And they had such a concrete picture of that in their mind that it took them a long time to get off of it. A week before they benched Penix, Raheem Morris said, you know, we're not going to be one of these organizations that, you know, makes these harsh and rash decisions. We're not going to be one of these organizations that puts a young guy out there too early – and affects his long-term development. That's just not who we're going to be. This is our plan, this is our plan, this is our plan. Eventually, they just decided, you know, it's not going to work. Our plan did not work. We've got to quit being stubborn. We've got to make the move. So far, yeah, I mean, it worked really well. But as you point out, that's the Giants. You know, we'll rewind history a little bit and go in the Raheem Morris Wayback Machine. In Tampa Bay, his first stint as a head coach, they throw Josh Freeman in a first-round pick into the lineup midway through the season. He beats the Packers 38-28. Everybody's feeling okay about themselves. Freeman loses his next five. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's great. Penix looks great. You know, the NFL, to steal a phrase that I've heard somewhere, is a do-it-again league.
Sure.
Can you do it again?
Talking with Josh Kendall from The Athletic, covers the Atlanta Falcons, coming up to D.C. this weekend for the ball game. You can follow him on X at Josh the Athletic. One thing that will really help Penix, and I like Penix a lot, but one thing that will really help him is the lock. I covering the Skins and whatever, the Washington organization, I've seen a lot of quarterback changes over the last decade, and the locker room always knows. Now, whether they say it or not, the guys that are out there playing know when something needs to change. Have they kind of rallied behind the young kid?
Oh, they absolutely have. I think that he is mature to the point of boring. You know, he is not a guy. He is unflappable. He is, you know, flatline emotionally. For the most part, but he has, you know, developed a strong relationship with his new teammates would be, that's not right, because he's just now getting a lot of first team reps, but they respect him. They believe in him. They feel like their capacity as a team offensively and defensively is much higher with him in the lineup. So you do see that bounce. in their step.
Good. And another guy that could really help him is Bijan. How big of a threat is Bijan Sunday to maybe allow Atlanta to control the game on the ground?
Well, that's what you hope for Bijan. You want him his ceiling, the ceiling that he has shown, and Bijan is great. The ceiling that he has shown so far is to be that kind of back, the guy that allows you to move the chains. When they drafted him, they said this guy is a home run hitter. And to be frank, he hasn't hit a ton of home runs. I think 38 yards is still his longest run in the NFL. He's got a couple of above 30. Yeah, this is not Saquon Barkley. What this is a guy that can turn negative two into positive two and negative two into seven. And that is huge. I mean, that's not unimportant at all. So if they can just keep Bijan Robinson chewing up the clock and maybe break a few 12s and 18s, I think that will be good enough to allow the passing game to do what it needs to do.
Is that something that they have to do to make sure it works? Because, this league today, people go away from the run so damn quick that it troubles me.
Yeah, I don't think that they'll get away from the run really quickly. And I do think that they want to establish the run to keep that front seven off of Penix as best they can. One thing about Penix, he didn't take a sack in his first game. They gave up some pressures, but he didn't take a sack. Gets the ball out of his hands really quick. He's smart. Again, let's see how it translates against a Dan Quinn defense that's going to present more problems than a New York Giants team that was just done. But I think that Penix gets the ball out of his hands quickly. I think that he can avoid taking the big sacks. I think that he can avoid giving up making the big turnovers, but the more you can run the ball, the more you can help with all that.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And then in the passing game, Drake London's a high draft pick, Kyle Pitts is a high draft pick, but I think, is Darnell Mooney their best receiver, at least statistically?
That's still Drake, but it's close. In all likelihood, both Drake and Darnell will cross 1,000 yards receiving on Sunday night. Drake needs like 28. Darnell needs like 45. They are good complements to each other. If I'm picking one guy who is their best receiver, for me it's still Drake London. But they're just different guys, and that's why they worked well together. Drake is a big body, win at contact, possession type receiver. Darnell is more of the deep intermediate stuff, can get, those layered throws that you see. You'll see a lot of third down stuff to Darnell Mooney, particularly if it's third and long. If you're the Falcons, if I'm the Falcons and I for some reason I have to keep one and they're not in that situation, I keep Drake because I do think he is better at what he does. He is more elite at what he does than Darnell is at what he does, but they're both really good.
So what's the defense like in Atlanta?
Well, first half of the year, it was terrible. They have gotten better. They have specifically gotten better. Their defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake, pointed out against the run, which has allowed their pass rush to get home some. So in the last four games, I think that this defense leads the league in EPA per play. That's a dramatic difference in what they were doing in the first half of the year. And a lot of that is, you see this with teams that play a lot of zone, which Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake do. It takes and run a lot of games to create pass rush. They don't have a dominant pass rusher. So everything's got to work together. And they have done a nice job. You got to give them credit. I haven't always done that. They've done a nice job just gradually getting a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. The biggest worry for them coming into this game, I think, is run fits. They're really happy with their run defense. But it's not going to be tested the way Jaden Daniels will test it, because he opens up another gap in the run game. And because, boy, if you just give him a sliver, His straight line speed is not like anything they've seen in a while.
We're talking with Josh Kendall here from The Athletic, covers the Falcons for The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Josh The Athletic on X. You brought him up in Jaden, and you're obviously covering the Falcons. I know the beat life. Like, you're so immersed into what Atlanta's doing. But just as an outsider looking in or getting ready for the game this weekend, what do you make of what Jaden has put together this year?
I think it's been great. I think it's been delightful. I appreciate the Commanders and Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn for putting him in a position to do the things that he does really well, because he makes the league more fun. You know, we've talked about the NFL being a do-it-again league. That's not just game to game. That's season to season.
Sure.
So am I ready to tell you that Jaden Daniels is going to be the next Lamar Jackson, 2.5, 3-time MVP? No, I think we've got to see that. But it's been fun to watch him be able to do the things that he does so well, even if they're not necessarily traditional. You know, 10 years ago even, maybe 5, but certainly 10 years ago, I feel like the league would have tried to bang him into a mold that they wanted him to be in. And we've gotten away from that, which I think is a good thing. So it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, it really has been. And just kind of as you watch this thing unfold, you brought Dan Quinn up a bunch. And, obviously DQ was in Atlanta as the head coach. We all know what happened in that Super Bowl. He's, I think, fired 2 years later. How do Falcons fans feel about Quinn? Because people here, I think, were fairly lukewarm on the hire, but love the dude now.
It's just so difficult to remove 28-3 from their heads, and you sort of get that organizationally.
Yeah.
But if you could, I think that they would remember the Dan Quinn era very favorably. They should, at least. It's one of the best stretches in team history. This is not a team with a ton of history, but they were really good under Dan Quinn for long stretches. And the players in the locker room, there are 5 guys on the 53-man who played for him. To a man, I think, liked Dan Quinn, appreciated Dan Quinn, felt like they were playing some good ball at times under Dan Quinn. So I get it that he was, sort of a fallback position in Washington. But what he's got a really good knack for is coming in, making a group of guys believe in themselves and play a little bit harder. And that's really worked for this team. Long term, who knows? Right now, it's fun.
It is.
It's remarkable because, like, as you know, journalists and reporters were kind of trained to be skeptical, and coming off the Rivera era where everything was there's all this talk about unity and building everything together, and it just fell flat every step.
Yep.
It was hard to believe or fully buy into DQ, but the players have. Like, it being in that locker room, you see it every damn day. It's pretty remarkable. Last one for me, Josh. Specific to 28-3, do fans hang that more on DQ, or are they still mad at Kyle too?
They put 100% blame for that on everybody. You know, it was such a sting that they've got enough blame to go around. So it just depends on who's in their crosshairs at the time. I think that they blame it on Arthur. You can blame it on Arthur Blank. You can blame it on DQ. You can blame it on Kyle. Plenty of blame to go around, and they're happy to give it.
Hey, Josh, we really appreciate this, man. This is a great interview. We appreciate your time, bro.
Thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, Josh Kendall covers the Falcons for The Athletic. Give him a follow, at Josh The Athletic. Smart dude. Really good insight right there. You got to slow Bijan down. If he's a grinder, like he's saying.
Yeah.
But
the thing about it, he may not be Saquon at this point, but you know what? He has the speed to be a Saquon.
And they have – Washington has been pretty good against the run. They have a bad habit of giving up home runs. Like, you don't want to groove one down the middle, man.
Hell no.
When we come back, PFT commenter joins us at 11. We got Jeff's hype song at 11:30. Amelia Draper, NBC4, gives us the weather report for Sunday Night Football at 11:45. 10 minutes. PFT commenter joining the program. Can't wait to hear from PFT. Obviously a busy dude. Going to be fun. I really enjoyed that interview with Josh Kendall. Smart guy. Covers the Falcons.
Yep.
If you missed any of that, get on the Odyssey
app. Like your accent, don't you, Jay?
I did. I enjoyed that.
He's not from Atlanta.
He's from outside Atlanta.
He's from Texas somewhere.
There is a boatload of college football on today. Yeah. I kind of wanted to run through all our options here. Give me a excitement level scale of 1 to 10 for all these games, B.
Okay.
Ready?
Sure. I got you.
Coming up at high noon, Oklahoma plays Navy.
I got an excitement level for it. I love seeing Navy play the bigger schools, because one thing Oklahoma's going to find out, they will not quit till the end.
Yeah. Can you tell me what the names of these bowls are, either Brian or Jeff? Hit me with Oklahoma versus Navy's bowl game. I'm with you, though. What you got, Landy?
Meineke Car Care.
So are they in Detroit?
Sure.
Okay.
He said sure.
I think that game will mean so much more for Navy than it does for Oklahoma.
Probably will. And a lot of times you notice what we've seen of late, bigger schools get to these bowl games and they act like they're disappointed and they get their tails whipped. Well,
and nobody plays. And I wonder what the mindset is about now in the expanded playoff. You know, the Meineke Car Care Bowl has always meant the same, but now it might seem even furtherly meaningless in the era of a 12-team playoff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So whoever approaches it like it matters more might – it's a pretty weird line. It's Oklahoma's a one-point favorite over Navy. Yeah. All right.
It's actually the Armed Forces Bowl.
All right. That was bad information, Landfill. The Armed Forces Bowl makes a lot more sense for Navy. Than the Meineke Car Care Bowl. So is that San Diego or maybe Dallas or something?
It's at TCU Stadium, apparently.
So that is Fort Texas Worth, I believe. All right, B, what's your excitement level? Georgia Tech laying 3 to the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Well, they play both SEC teams, so, you know. No. I'm thinking about Georgia. I like Georgia Tech because Georgia Tech, didn't Georgia Tech come out the first game of the year and just embarrass Florida State?
In Dublin. Dublin.
But I think Vanderbilt is not the doormat that they used to be.
I agree. That quarterback's got some juice to him. Yeah. Where's that game?
Birmingham Bowl.
Birmingham, Alabama, I suppose?
Possibly.
Okay.
Birmingham, Texas.
Birmingham, England. Brian.
Yes.
A school that recruited you heavy. Texas Tech is a 2.5-point favorite against Arkansas tonight, 7 o'clock kick. Raven Caldwell will be watching.
I'm looking at a team that likes to throw it around, another team that want to be physical.
Where's that one? I fear this one's going to be in Texas.
Memphis.
It's
the Liberty Bowl.
Memphis gives Arkansas a big advantage. That's basically a home game for the Hogs.
Definitely.
I kind of like the Hogs getting 2.5 in Memphis on a Friday night because I was walking in Memphis, Landfill. I got two more games for you, B. Mm-hmm. Syracuse, great special teams, coached by my boy James Villano, Jimmy B. Syracuse taking on Washington State. Now, I don't know what the hell's going on with
where is this game at?
Landfill, I need that information.
San Diego.
Ooh, is this the Holiday Bowl?
It is, in fact, the Holiday Bowl.
I love watching the Holiday Bowl.
Washington State go right down, and Syracuse got to bring them. Ooh.
Yeah, but B, if you live in Syracuse, you know how excited you are to travel to San Diego?
Yeah, you might be so excited you forget that you're playing a football game.
Washington State must have had a crazy amount of opt-outs or something. Listen to this. Syracuse finished the season 9-3 and had that big win over Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Washington State went 8-4. What do you think the spread should be in this thing?
A 9-3 and 8-14?
Yeah.
Probably
close to
a few points, three?
Yeah. You know what it is?
Probably 14.
17.5.
For Washington State?
No, Syracuse.
Syracuse favored by that? I'll take Washington State.
Washington State must have had a hell of a lot of opt-outs.
I'll take Washington
State. Or maybe
State.
Their coach
That's
lead?
A lot of damn points, though.
White Bryant, see if Washington State lost their coach. Because this joint opened at 11.5, and now is at 17. All right, and the nightcap tonight, Texas A&M taking on Southern California, the Trojans. 8-4 A&M, 6-6 USC. This one doesn't make a lot of sense either because A&M was a playoff team damn near till the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And they're only 3.5 point favorites, depending where you're shopping.
They're pissed off.
I think a lot of people they're opted pissed off out.
And a lot of people are like, well, I'm not playing that game.
That one's at 10:30. Where's that one? It's got to be out west somewhere.
Vegas.
The Vegas Bowl.
Hey.
Speaking of Vegas, Mike Beasley's going to join us at 12:30. PFT commenter joins us next.